Hey there, you are about to see an amazing video with a guest you are going to love. First, subscribe by hitting the button below. Help us on our mission. We want to rip 10 million people off couches.
Welcome back to the Mythical White Barn here at gorgeous Riverside Farms. I'm surrounded by natural born heroes to my right and left. We have Mark Webb. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Likewise.
Joe's being a hero himself. He's I think he's running through the Sahara or something. Anyways,
something. China, if the Sahara's in China, then probably.
Oh, it was the Great Wall. Okay, great.
I always get those confused.
They're easy to mix up.
Oh, geography. Anyway, we have. I guess you can be Dr. Johnny Waite since Dell's been with us the past couple weeks. But
I will be Dr. Johnny Waite only if Marion, our producer, gives me permission to. With Dell not here, can I be an honorary doctor again, Marion?
Oh,
awesome,
thank
fantastic,
you very much,
and thank you, Marion, for everything.
And I am Sephra, the question mark, soon to be some
large
sort of hero, big undefined.
The problem
the
is
the world is your oyster.
The problem is we used to call her a rewilding expert, which you are. I mean, in terms of helping people get back to nature and realize
just rewild
our connection there. But she says that we're already wild enough now, so she has to figure out what else to work on. So
I guess I'm done here. See you guys. No, but so anyway, so today we're talking to Christopher McDougall, who you guys might know from his book, Born to Run.
Huge bestseller.
Super awesome book. Talks about the Tarahumara running through the wherever.
Copper Canyon, Mexico.
Yeah, Copper Canyon, Mexico.
I'm sure
Johnny's done that.
I have.
All right, we are here for Spartan Up Podcast with Chris McDougall, the famous author of Born to Run and now Natural Born Heroes. We're in his church. This is an unbelievable setting. You rent this place? You own it?
It feels like home to me. I just kind of sneak in at night. And
tell me about the book.
Natural Born Heroes. It was a simple question. You hear about resistance fighters, and we focus on all the heroism and the recklessness. My question was, how do these dudes physically survive? You take a bunch of amateurs, and you put them behind enemy lines and say, okay, live off the land, and while you're at it, go fight some of the most lethal soldiers in human history and survive and find your own shelter. So that's what I started to research. And the one story I decided to zero in on was on the island of Crete. And for two reasons. Crete is the only place where the resistance began immediately. Paratroopers are still coming down, and these guys are sticking steak knives on brooms, getting ready to fight. Every place else, the resistance took months to build up, not on Crete. So why? My second question was, is there something unique about what's going on in Crete? Because the second thing that happened on Crete that happened nowhere else was they kidnapped the commanding German general and got him off the island. Nowhere else in modern military history has a commanding general ever been kidnapped from the field of battle except for a bunch of these hillbillies on one island in Greece.
And you found it was no GMOs?
Whoosh, yeah, boom. Now the cool thing about it was they were tapping into something very ancient, you know, this art of the hero. Again, we throw these words around like, oh, you know, resistance fighter, hero. But they actually mean specific things. And on Crete, hero was not just a brave guy. It was a guy that was very, very skilled. And that's what I wanted to know. I was like, what's the skill?
And what'd you find?
Well, a couple of things. They broke it down into three categories: strength, skill, and compassion. But we think of those things like compassion being, you know, very generous and, you know, 12 cents a day and you help somebody out. The Cretans are like, you know, the hell with that noise. Compassion is about stemming off a problem before it comes back to you. Taking care of your kid's problem before it becomes your problem.
Right.
And what compassion is all about is what special forces fighters call situational awareness, knowing everything's going on, you know, at your six. So that if something's going on in your kinship network, you deal with it when it's small before it becomes big. That's their notion of compassion. But compassion then feeds into observation, being very, you know, tapped into your surroundings, knowing where to go and when. Strength, again, it's not that built up, muscular, 1970s, you know, roided out muscular strength. But it's about adaptability and sinuousness. And then skill was sort of tapping into all those Georges Bear natural method things too, be able to climb, hikes, crawl, lift, throw, defend. And those, again, these are skills that are sort of latent in all of us, but we let them go dormant and got to bring them back to life.
Yeah, and so somebody reading the book is gonna tap into those skills you just talked about and be able to start to apply them to their own life?
So, you know, that was a starting point. For Born to Run, I was not a runner. I was a guy who was told not to run. I was going to get hurt. So I thought, well, is it possible to do the transformation? So that's really the arc of Born to Run. Non-runner into a guy trying a 50-miler. Natural Born Heroes is kind of a similar thing. I understand this thing about natural movement. I understand these things about these skills. Can I learn it? Can I learn some parkour? Can I learn to climb a rope? Can I learn to throw a knife? And the surprising thing for me was not that I could do them, but how fast I could do them. Like knife throwing.
How quick you could learn those.
You could teach someone to throw a knife in 10 minutes and make them
accurate. So rumor has it you got picked up, what, at the airport on the way here with these throwing knives?
No, it happened across the street, so... Yeah, stupid confession. I walk into a place that has been the subject of a terrorist attack, and I go walk in with two black bags with a bunch of steak knives inside.
Nice.
To a bag check.
How do you explain that one?
You just hold your hands in the air and go, yeah, it's pretty fucking dumb. This isn't like a...
No, we're good.
Okay,
we're
cool.
Good, yeah.
You know the thing about it, though? One thing is, it's Boston. You know, I don't know if you ever know about Logan Airport. Doesn't it feel different in Logan?
Yeah.
That the guy's checking you in or making jokes and talking.
Yeah.
So I walk in here, and these guys, I say, oh, by the way, I get a bunch of knives. And the guy's like, now, why do you think that was a good idea? Thinking was not part of it.
So you're a master now at throwing knives?
That's a loaded word, master.
You're good at it?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
To the point where like, I could maybe go up against the wall and trust that you wouldn't hit me?
Oh, no, I would definitely hit you. That's what I thought. Oh, that's what you wanted. The point is not to miss. The point is to hit.
Right. I mean, you see the movies, right, where the knife comes right next to the person.
Yeah, the funny thing is I never tried to not hit something, so I don't know about that part.
Right.
But I was actually checking at Joe DI. I thought, I could definitely sink one in his chest from here. Exactly from here. Do you ever do no-spin knife throwing?
No, I never did it.
It's unbelievable. You pick it up so fast, because all it is about is, like, throwing from here.
Yeah.
And most of them are trying to do this kind of thing. You just extend out, and you step in.
And throw.
There's the whole thing, too, I get into is instinctive aim. You know, we have this thing about aim. It's this very careful thing. You need to do this stuff. Aim's not hard. You know, where's Joe Diaz? Right there. Where's the window? There. You know,
right.
Your finger's hardwired. It's ready to find it.
Right.
You look at those Wild West gunslingers.
Yeah, right.
That's just pulling from the hip. Because what they were doing was not letting the technology
get in the way. Yeah, it's funny. One of my children, 3 years old, just picked things up and just hit you right in your chest. And
yeah.
It was, how the hell did that happen? But it's instinctual, I guess.
Yeah. And the problem then is we try to ritualize everything, formalize everything. And, oh, how do you throw a ball? Well, you do this. And you add all these things. So when you try to throw it, you're running through the checklist.
Sure.
But when you actually got to do it, you just go.
Yeah, you know, we're big believers in Sparta, Spartan race, that we are hardwired to do all these things, but we have become dormant with all those skills.
Yeah.
And we've got to fire them back up. But it's hard in this environment, right? Because we sit in front of computers all day. We're almost transforming ourselves the wrong way every day.
The thing about it is, I don't even blame the technology, because technology is always going to be there. My thing is, it's the whole marketing fear industry. You know, tell people that if they don't do something, they're going to get hurt. If you do this, you're going to get hurt. It's the whole you're going to get hurt shit, I think, is the problem. You know, buy these shoes or you're going to get hurt running. You know, go to the gym or you're going to get hurt. Wear the helmet, you know.
Right.
That's what I think the problem is. And one of the guys I look at.
Sorry to interrupt. I was telling my son just an hour ago, we're going to Singapore for a year.
Yeah. A year.
For a year. We're going to get Asia going. And I said, you guys are going to play rugby, because they just got done with a wrestling match. What's rugby? I said, rugby's like wrestling and football and running. And they go, oh, well, it's like football. I said, well, yeah, I guess it's like football, but without the pads. My youngest said, well, why didn't you just say that? It's like football without the pads.
Football without the pads.
Right. But I was afraid of the... And you're right. He's like, it's the fear thing, right? He's like, no, it's just football without the pads.
I'm sure when you're not home in the living room,
they're taking
the cushions, you know?
Right.
They're beating the crap out. They're playing something way harder in the living room when you're not looking.
Sure.
Rugby. But that's it. And I think that's the problem, is we try to rigid and codify everything. And for one reason. Number one, it's more convenient. If you have a gym and you put everybody on a machine and they're right here, right, you get a lot of people through that gym.
Sure.
If it's a big open space, well, you know, people are bumping into each other.
I'm just visualizing your gym, the Christopher McDougall gym. You walk in, there's throwing knives being flown across the wall.
You kidding? Isn't that awesome?
Everybody's barefoot. They're climbing vines.
Right on, right? Come on. Here's the thing about it. That used to be the gym, though. You know,
couldn't get insurance for a gym like that, though.
There you go. It's the fear industry, right?
Yeah.
Liability. Teddy Roosevelt used to go to this place called Woods Gym in Manhattan. And the only guys he was, they didn't hire, like, you know, therapists or trainers. They hired fighters, like professional boxers, because fighters had to get it right or you're dead, you know?
Right.
So their natural movement was dynamite. So when Teddy Roosevelt walks in, they put him in the hands of some dude with, like, a flattened nose and buffed up ears and said, work him out. And one of the things they had were these things called the strength rings. You ever heard of these things?
No.
It's two rings. You hold one and I hold the other. And the whole goal is make the other guy fall down. So I'm yanking, twisting
like
that.
I like it.
10 seconds, man, you are just like veins popping out of your head. And the whole idea is there's always, you know, wherever you're doing, the left hand, the right hand, the feet are going.
I like it.
So you're up against a professional boxer and you got these two strength things, right, and you're a little guy with glasses and asthma, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to get stronger, you're going to go home.
I hope you're not sitting still while you listen. If you are, you better get a burpee break in.
And one of the big things we cover here at Spartan Up is what are the virtues and attributes that make somebody successful? Obviously, one of the things you're talking about is just going back to instincts.
I think going back to primary causes. I think where we get in trouble is accepting that this is right, you know, and something to go back to first principles and start from there. I'm not sure I really have answers for that. You know, the one thing I've had some luck at is I've seen a lot of these athletes in marginal sports like ultra running, and the thing that I think unites them is, curiously, competition was not their starting point. It was actually the skill and the art that got them into it. And the second thing about it is they were willing to just sort of find stuff on their own.
Investigate, read, learn.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And not accepting that there is a whole body of accepted truth.
Not fall into this is the way it's done.
Scott Jurek, for instance. Now, Scott Jurek had won Western States 7 times in a row. That just boggles the imagination how you can do that. And yet he shows up at this like dirt ball race in the Copper Canyon to race the Tarahumara. And I couldn't figure out why until I realized this dude was constantly looking. He's like, man, these guys probably know something.
Next level.
You win Western States, you think you got it wired, you know? And he's like, no, somebody else knows something I don't know.
Yeah. So always looking to be better, raise the bar.
And not thinking that all because there are guys who live in a cave that I got nothing to learn from them.
So what I found is commitment is a big one, right?
Yeah.
Just people are afraid to commit, but people that are successful, whether it's the monk or the business person, go out there and they'll publicly commit to things. This is what we're going to, now you're on the hook.
Yeah, right? And funny, the Member Project has this thing called a verbal, you know? Give a verbal. You're going to give a verbal. And once you say it, man, you gotta be stuck to it.
Yeah. Having the proper frame of reference. So somebody from Siberia has a completely different frame of reference than soft Joe DI over there, who's grown up in a very coddled environment.
Yeah, it shows.
Right? And so when things get tough at mile 90, we're trying to do a 100-mile run, right? The guy from Siberia is like, are you kidding me? There's aid stations? I've never seen an aid station.
I have to kill something?
Exactly.
All right, so, killed it for me.
Yeah, proper frame of reference
is
a big one. You're an average of your 5 best friends. Who are you hanging out with? Right? So everybody rises to the level they're at. So there's a bunch of things we're seeing, and I think it's stuff that you, when you do your research, you're seeing.
I guess so, but I mean, when you put it in those kind of terms, it really makes the wheels start to spin. You're average of your 5 best friends. It makes you really think, you know?
Right?
Yeah.
Because you're either being pulled down or getting pulled up.
And you're also making good choices or bad choices.
Right. Delaying gratification? Or are you going to have that extra glass of wine tonight? Or can you put it down because you know tomorrow morning you got to do something? Or hitting the snooze button or not hitting the snooze button?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you've heard of the marshmallow test?
And, uh-huh.
I'm sure you did, I'll tell you anyway, but in 1972, Stanford researcher decides to put children in cubicles and give them a marshmallow or a cookie.
Okay.
And wants to see if the kids take the marshmallow or the cookie. Sure enough, most kids take it. They can't wait. He says, look, if you wait, I'll give you 2.
Right.
They follow the kids for 30 years. What they find is 100% correlation. The kids that could wait and not eat the marshmallow or the cookie have better lives, better SAT scores, better cars, better houses, better everything in their life is better.
Okay.
Because they have that ability to put off that instant gratification and delay it for something greater. What we're finding in all these people...
Cost-benefit analysis there.
Yeah. What all the people we interview is, everybody that's successful is playing for 15 scoops.
Mm-hmm.
They're not playing for 1 marshmallow or 1 cookie, right? You can deal with some pain. Think about all the pain you go through to write the book.
You know, it's funny, I don't want to like pat myself on the back. It's not the pain of writing the book, it's the pain of promoting the book. I don't like that part of the job at all, but I'm sort of sucking.
You got to do it.
The day I was driving at the door, I was supposed to be in New York like 8 o'clock at night, 10:30, I'm still at home. My wife said, what are you doing here? I just don't want to go. She's like, you're going. I know I'm going.
Yeah.
But
promotion's tough.
That's how much I didn't want to do it, but I think you're right. Part of it is also you get this surge from feeling like nobody else is doing it. So that's my one advantage.
Right.
And if you feel like this is my one shot.
Oh, nobody's taking the extra step.
Right. Yeah. Nobody else is doing it, so if you do it, you're going to win, you know?
Yeah, you know what? The analogy I think of there is you and I are in a forest. We're trees.
Yeah.
And there's that one tree that pokes its head up a little higher to get sunlight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It goes on the promotional tour. It's not even hard. Just one extra step makes you stand out above the entire forest.
But part of it's in your mind. If you think that if I just poke a little bit, I'm going to find sunlight, you know? I guess that's what I sort of feel like. I just got to poke, you know?
You just got to do it.
Everybody else is kind of here, and there's got to be a way out, you know?
Yeah. So what's next?
I got a couple ideas in mind. I'm going to do a big reveal then, because I haven't told anybody else this, but I'm really enjoying this conversation. I think this is something you're going to dig too. Underground Railroad.
Yeah.
How'd these guys do it?
How'd they build it?
You get somebody on the other side of the Great Dismal Swamp, and so you're going to run for your life from South Carolina to Canada. The slave chasers would, they know the guy's right here, and they get to the town, he's gone, and next thing you know, he pops up 500 miles away, and they're like, must have been like an underground railroad. Where'd this guy go?
Oh, got it. It was just a
how did they move that fast through the wilderness?
And so you were to investigate, was it all by foot? Was it?
Exactly, what did they do? How do you survive? What do you live on? You know, what are you tapping into?
We live in Vermont. I heard a story of a young kid and his dad had left Connecticut, gone 200 miles up into Vermont in the fall and to get ready for a house they were going to build, and the family was going to come in the spring. Well, 2 weeks into it, tree falls down, kills the father. This 12-year-old kid has to hoof it in the snow back 200 miles. I mean, here's a kid that didn't really know how to navigate. He was with his dad.
Yeah.
But gets home and lets the family know, hey, listen, dad's under a tree 200 miles away. We'll have to go dig him out in the spring.
Yeah.
So those stories are in existence, but they seem ridiculous today when they were commonplace back
then. I wonder, though, because one of the things I look at in Natural Born Heroes is Norina Bensel. She was a school principal in her 50s. Small woman, not physically fit. And some guy breaks into her school with a machete. Who's after the kids. Norina stops him.
Wow.
Bare hands.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a crazy story. I keep trying to, every time I try to tell, I start welling up. Were you there today? I was like, Jesus, man, I had to like stop and turn around.
So that tells you?
It's there.
It's there.
And so someone said, well, would a lot of other educators acted the same way? I said, no, I think she was uniquely prepared. I think that she, as a principal, as in a rural school district, she's the person in charge. And that she took that on herself in a quiet way. So when the moment came, it's just she was gonna find stuff. And she did something that I thought was brilliant too, Joe, was, she hugged the dude. She wasn't trying to like land, you know, haymakers on him. Right. She used the one ability she had, which is to hug and hang on.
Right. I met a woman recently. She wrote a book, something about a goodie bag. I Didn't Promise You a Goodie Bag, I think is the name of the book.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's 20-something years old. She walks into her friend's apartment, sees a big guy lurking around in the hallway. There's only three apartment doors. She's thinking to herself, gee, he's not going in those two. I'm going in this one. He's not coming in here. He attacks her. He's got a screwdriver. Stabs her 37 times. She kicks and fights her way out of it. Guy was 225 pounds. Here's a woman, 120 pounds. The police couldn't understand how this woman survived, how she got out of that situation. So it's amazing what the human body and the mind can do when it wants to.
And when he can. Yeah. And I get you. I bet you if you sat down with that woman, you're going to find things in her past.
Oh, she's tough as nails. Yeah. She's built five businesses since.
Right.
Right. She's wired.
Yeah.
Right. It's not latent, all the things you're talking about.
To not give up.
Yeah.
So those are things, I think they're out there. I think we're close to them. And it's just a matter of just opening the door a little bit, let them come out.
Yeah. Well, you got your throwing knives now, so you're set.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the first time in this church they've had throwing knives up there.
Yeah, and I don't think we should throw them in the church. Just my two cents.
I already did.
You did. This was awesome.
Joe, man,
thanks
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, thanks for doing it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Okay, so welcome back. Great interview. Yeah. I'm actually halfway through listening to his audiobook, and I'm glad he didn't spoil the ending for me, so that was good. Yeah. But what do you guys think?
I think I'm moving to Crete.
Yeah, there's some pretty badass people there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You think you're ready for that?
Always. Come on, Colonel Knight.
Are you ready to face a challenge like that? Do you really think that?
Every day. What do you think? What do you think getting to hang out with you guys is?
That's true. She has to resist the entire time.
Sharpening up those elbows.
But you know what? I found really great about this, and I'm a longtime Christopher McDougall fan. Born to Run is a book that actually had a huge impact on me, and my whole racing running career came out of reading that book. But I found it interesting that he has now taken that, and he's finding another group of people where he's saying, what is it that's unique about these people that we can all learn from? And that's what it was with, like you mentioned, the Tarahumaras, with Copper Canyon and Born to Run. It was, what is it about them that we can extrapolate from and learn from? And now he's doing that with the people on Crete, saying, here's a really unique example. And I found it interesting, Colonel, I wanted to defer to you on sort of the military side of things. You said this was an instance where everyone else sort of took their time ramping up the resistance, these guys immediately.
They were resisting from day one. Kidnapped the commander general,
as he puts it. And
smart move. Sorry. I'm taking Colonel Hunt.
What I meant to say was, I going to defer to Sephiroth on the military strategy.
I got lots to say.
Yeah, and I get, listen, I don't, and I need to stop saying listen. The
I'll listen.
I don't know the history very well, that specific battle, obviously, but thank you.
look at how well he receives.
But my question would be, did they ramp up or was there a warrior culture?
Sure.
I mean, you know, you look at Afghanistan, you look at some of these other parts of the world where there's been fighting for so long, and that is part of their culture. We go back to the Spartans, right? And it's expected of everyone, of every male, every female, whatever, to be ready to fight and prepared to fight and to defend what is yours. You could even go into inner cities and look at gang culture or something. Yeah. You know, people raised to defend turf and territory. Yeah. So did these guys, and I don't know, did they go from being a bunch of farmers who had no background or anything in fighting, or were they already fairly schooled but unformed? And I think he was talking about these resistance fighters kind of came together, formed, and took on this mission right away, which is fascinating.
Yeah. How about Odysseus?
Yeah, and there's a lot of stories in the book where he goes through story after story, going all the way back through history within that culture. And it's not necessarily just a warrior culture in terms of a fighter, but it is a warrior culture in terms of, you know, the diet, the terrain just breeds this phenomenal athlete just by virtue of needing to move around and farm and do their thing. But there's also kind of a stoicism in the culture that really kind of shines through in a lot of the stories, and they can draw on that as well.
And we look at with Spartan, what Joe's trying to do and what the whole company's trying to do in terms of re-engaging people with their natural way of being and eating healthier and moving. And I love when he talks about that kids, their natural movements are powerful, healthy, functional movements.
And bear crawl.
Yeah, and we unlearn that stuff as adults.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and he talks in the interview and he talks in the book a lot too about instinct. And you know, there's some stories about the gunslingers from the West shooting from the hip and hitting dead on
just
every time.
Not getting in the wrong way. Right? Yeah,
I think that's muscle memory.
Right? Yeah, I mean, there's a phrase I use all the time: "Perfect is the enemy of the good." And we kind of train ourselves to try and be perfect at what we do, and it kills our instinct sometimes.
Sure.
And he's showing that by relying on them and trusting your instincts that good things can happen.
I loved when Joe asked what Chris McDougall's gym would look like, and he said, you know, it wouldn't be machines that
Signs
you get on
logs.
And stand beside somebody else watching CNN in front of you. You'd be moving like a natural person, right?
Food Network usually though, right?
Food Network, sure, exactly. Yeah.
Was this the rings?
The battle rings.
Going in and fighting against actual trained fighters, the rings. And
maybe that should be our exercise break, is some battle rings.
I
like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think going back to your guys' point on culture, one of the mentors that I look up to most is a guy by the name of John Young, and he has a course called The Art of Mentoring. And The Art of Mentoring is a way that basically lays out in almost diagrams how positive examples of he takes indigenous cultures, like some vestiges that are still left of that in the Hawaiian culture, and from different indigenous tribes all over the world. And what he's done is he's collated that in to see like what creates really strong positive culture. You have when you have cultures and community that are extremely intact. Like, for example, there was a hurricane or some sort of natural disaster in Hawaii, right? And all this aid came in to come help them, to want to give them all the supplies
hurricane,
and all things. And they
hurricane
said,
Hurricane Iniki, 1993?
Yeah, sure. That's the one. And then
I was there.
And they said, you know what? Like, hold on a second. We got this. We need to repair and take care of this within our culture first before we want outsiders to be coming in and helping us. And I just think when you have positive cultures and communities where things are scaffolded, things are passed down from elders to the youth, when all of those attributes are present, then whatever your community comes and faces up against, you're just going to naturally be able to align and come together and be able to fight off.
And to Colonel I's question at the start is, you know, that's probably a big part of what was there with this culture and creed, is that there's a preparedness. And,
right.
And you know, we look at, and Joe talks about obstacle immunity and the idea that creating an easy life isn't going to have you well prepared when a situation like that happens. You need to be self-reliant. Actually putting yourself in the path of challenges and just don't dull your instincts. Don't dull those natural survival abilities by making everything so easy Keep yourself present to all that.
So that's what Joe says. Normal keeps getting worse.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, where normal gets, you're right, easier. So it's getting not only easier, but kind of dulled. When you're talking about the reflex of firing, you know, I mean, so it's those quick things, and we've become so, like our food, almost processed, right? Yeah. Everything gets overthought, overmanaged, overcoached, overregulated. Yeah. When we go earlier podcast when we were the
organic heritage land,
Chinese school going back all the way that human nature hasn't evolved over 5,000 years. The basics are there. We tend to forget them and we tend to think we know something better or we have a new way of doing it. And sometimes it's quicker, but that doesn't mean that it's better.
Yeah, and going back to what he said about his gym, and then there's some stories in the book too. So parkour. I got the sense from him that historically parkour comes out of Crete, and they're really using instead of using their muscles like we're taught to like power through things and run up mountains, they've learned over time to use their fascia and actually like build on the elastic energy in the body to really like bounce through the terrain instead of grunting through the terrain.
I got
to
get this book.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great one.
It's really good.
He the neat thing, and I know we're probably running low on time, so I just want to mention the great thing about Chris McDougall is he writes what feels like you're reading the best thriller. Like you're page turning through what's really biographical / anthropological / biological, and he pulls all these things together in the most incredibly entertaining way. So yeah, you'll enjoy the book. So Born to Run is a classic, but this Natural Born Heroes, which I have at home and I haven't started yet, but I'm excited, especially with you telling me being halfway through it. I'm competitive, so I'm going to beat you to the end.
Not anymore.
check out the art of entering.
Yeah, but you know what? You'll be able to find links for both of these.
Marion, I was going to ask you if Joe had picked up a copy of the book while you were there, but you didn't film this one, correct?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't film it. And just from the viewers, it's filmed a little differently than the normal. Okay, I'm just want to make sure.
Cool. It's funny. Great, different perspective. And fortunately, Chris McDougall is such an interesting storyteller that keeps you pretty captivated the whole time.
Yeah, it was.
He's a natural born hero.
So yeah, to find out more about Chris McDougall, to get links for both those books, to find out more about our esteemed panelists, go to SpartanUpPodcast.com. Also, if you're listening to this on iTunes, check us out on YouTube. Spartan Up Podcast, you get to see these beautiful people who you're not seeing if you're only listening on iTunes. Then the last thing is, whether you're on iTunes or YouTube, hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any future episodes. Thanks very much.
For show notes, video, and audio of this episode, visit SpartanUpPodcast.com/090. Thank you for listening to another epic story of success. Get more at SpartanUpPodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at SpartanUpPod. The Spartan Up Podcast is brought to you by Spartan.
Isn't it time you found your true north? Sign up for Spartan X.